Hey, we are live. So excited to see everyone here. This is awesome. Welcome to the Discovering Your Zone of Genius workshop. I'm so grateful for you for taking the time to show up here for yourself and really making it a priority that you live the best possible life that you can. I hear from so many of my clients that they feel they're not living up to their full potential. I think, all of us have felt that at different points. I certainly have. I spent a lot of my life feeling that way, feeling like something was just out of reach, something was missing. And, I have a tendency to self-blame, so I even would blame myself. So I really am very grateful for learning about Zone of Genius. And I just want to be super clear, this is not my idea. It's an idea that I fell in love with and I'm taking to the next level in the way that I found works for me and for my clients. But I really want to credit Gay Hendricks for his work, the book, The Big Leap, the book, The Joy of Genius. Also want to credit the Conscious Leadership Group and Diana Chapman, who introduced me to this concept, and all of my friends over there at CLG. So I want to first encourage everyone, make sure you grab some paper and a pen. You want at least 5 sheets of paper if you can find it. If not, you can kind of flip back and forth on a smaller piece. This is something that your brain is going to learn better if you are interacting with something live, physically with your hand. Even when you hear yourself writing, that actually improves your learning. So let's get physical with this as much as possible, even though we're not here in person. I've found that interactive workshops and learning works really, really well on video. And in fact, I work with most of my clients this way. So we are in for a treat altogether. I'm so excited to learn what I'm going to learn from you. So make sure your phones are on silent so that you're not disturbed and you can really get into the zone here today. So right now, if you've made it into the chat, just come in and say hi and share, what it is that you're hoping to gain today. What are you hoping to learn? Why did you come? And what's the big picture question that you're trying to answer for yourself by being here at the beginning of this really awesome journey? Okay, I'm seeing some friends and a lot of people I've never had a chance to meet before. Hi, Julia. See, one of my clients is here. And thank you. People admire my work. That's really nice. People are excited about seeing what their zone of genius is, how they can expand their life that way, living up to their potential. I see inspiration, knowledge, people in a career rut. Wow, really, really common these days, feeling like you're in a career rut. People are just generally curious. They're wanting to find focus, meaning, and purpose. Wow. Yes, you're in the right place. That's what this is going to be all about: focus, meaning, purpose, and flow. And a lot of flow has to do with pleasure. So we're in for a treat. All right, I'll just briefly introduce myself. Thank you so much for chiming in. And this is also super helpful feedback for me, so I can learn and I can keep making this experience better. So my name is Keneal Joyce. I am a PhD from Berkeley. I have a PhD in business, specializing in organizational behavior. And I was even a tenure track faculty member at the London School of Economics for a while. I taught at Stanford, I taught other places. I love to teach, and it's a big part of what I get to do now. Even though I left academia, and that's a big part of my own personal journey toward finding my own zone of genius, I still get to teach quite a lot as an executive coach, as I am. I coach startup founders, I coach CEOs, I coach in the C-suite, I coach managers. And what I love doing is working with people who really want to stay whole and intact as they succeed. I'm curious here. I just want to poll the room. How many of you already knew about the concept of zone of genius before you got my email or heard about this course another way? Has anybody read the book, any of the books by Gay Hendricks? Who's a big Gay Hendricks fan? All right, not a lot of people have read it yet. So that's awesome. You're going to love those books. The Big Leap is one of my favorites. Who's familiar with the concept of conscious leadership? Yeah, great. So Melissa says she's not familiar with the zone of genius, but she's familiar with flow. Yeah, flow is an amazing concept that came out in the 90s, the work of Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, which is the hardest last name to say ever. So great. Let's dive in. I'm going to give you an overview here. So first, we're going to learn what zone of genius is and why it's important. I want you to really understand what's at stake here and what the possible benefits are for you. Then we're going to dive right in. I've got a meaty interactive exercise, and this is where you're going to really want your pen and paper on hand. Again, at least 5 sheets of paper, please, if you have them. And we're going to get our hands dirty. We're going to learn. You're going to get to discover some things about what is in your zone of genius, what's in your zone of excellence, what's in your zone of competence, and what's in your zone of incompetence. And then we'll begin to think about what would it look like for you to actually move toward a life where you're living primarily in your zone of genius. The clients I work with actually get to commit together with the support of a group that they're going to move toward living in their zone of genius 70% of the time. 70% of the time. And you'll understand why that's such a big deal and what it takes to get there by the end of this workshop. And it's going to be very, very personal to you, your needs, and your, you know, your own fears, your own strengths. So that's what we're going to cover. Now, a lot of you at the beginning here shared that you're here because you are in a rut, or you're just looking to have more purpose and meaning and focus, fulfillment, more flow in your life. And, you know, I think most of us are wanting that. We're wanting more of those days and moments where we're feeling like, oh, I'm just doing the right thing. Doing the right thing with myself. You know, my mom would be proud of me. Hi, mom, if you're here. And my dad would be proud of me. And I'm proud of me. And I know I'm making a big contribution, but yet this is so easy and fun. And I love what I'm doing. And I'm being fulfilled. And I know I'm making the impact I want to make. Who has had that experience? Who here in the room, use the chat and let us know, like, when's the last time you remember having an experience like that where you were in flow, you were effortlessly, easily creating value? Okay, I don't see a lot of responses on this one. So that means that we've got some work to do today. I hope you're up for it. The thing is when lots of us approach trying to have more meaning, flow, and purpose in our lives, we begin to make plans, right? Like, how can I get that done? What are the steps I need to take? And how do I get really busy and make a bunch of changes and work harder and better and faster and more? And as many of us have experienced, that harder, better, faster, more path often does not yield the results that we really want. We don't feel more relaxed. We don't feel more creative. We don't feel more flow. We actually feel often drained, unfulfilled. We might have imposter syndrome. I mean, the list goes on and on. This even shows up in our body. You know, part of what sent me on this path was I had really, really bad back problems when I was in the wrong career path for myself. And I think a lot of it was just me not letting my energy flow through me, not being in flow, not living in my zone of genius. So it can really show up in a lot of ways. The techniques we often try are things like time management, increased productivity. We might try to manage our company differently or take on a new management system. And all those things are super, super important. But they are tactical, and they have to do with the stuff that you're doing, not so much the way that you're being. And we're here today to explore both the doing and the being and how they work together for you. And then we'll look at the results that it yields for you. So these methods, time management, productivity, the reason that they often don't work is because they're coming from a scarcity mentality to begin with. So time management is about, I don't have enough time, or I'm not using my time well enough. Productivity, I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing the right things. You know, it's like it's starting from a place of self-criticism or blame or scarcity. And when we come from that place to begin with, we are not on the path to find enhanced fulfillment and purpose and joy and ease. So one of my favorite coaches, Miriam Mima, hi Miriam, she always talks about let it be easy. And it's her mantra, and it's become one of my mantras. So how can we let it be easy to be successful? What I've learned in this path is harder, better, faster, more only will lead to burnout, overwhelm, and the feeling that something's not quite right, something's missing, even if we are super, super successful. Now, I almost can hear your minds going. I hear some of you, because I've coached people for a long time now, with that voice of, don't I have to suffer to succeed? Isn't there something about the hard work, the perseverance, the discipline? Okay, no one's against hard work. I'm never going to tell you that you should stop working, that you should, you know, quit and just hang out in the park all day, unless that's what you really, really want to do. I'm here to stand for hard work, and I stand for hard work that's not hard. Hard work that's not hard. Write this down. I do not have to suffer to succeed. I do not have to suffer to succeed. And I want you to put that somewhere big that you can see it every day. Because when you're suffering, there's something wrong. And there's a shift that is available to you. And today we're going to learn about how to do that. Okay, awesome. So you're ready to get started? We're going to talk about then zone of genius. And zone of genius is one of four zones of being. So zone of genius is there's four zones of being, right? So there's the zone of genius where we're in flow, creativity. There's the zone of excellence where we're doing stuff we're really, really good at and we worked hard to become good at it. And it requires a lot of effort, but we enjoy it. It brings us a lot of our success. The next level down is the zone of competence. And, you know, for me, zone of competence, these are the things that I'm not necessarily good at. I don't really enjoy. I would love to skip them if I could, but it doesn't kill me to do it. I don't mind. It's kind of meh. And so that's my zone of competence. And for me, that's stuff like paying my bills. You know, I'm decent at it when I sit down to do it, but it's certainly not how I want to spend my Saturday. Other things in my zone of competence would be like making spaghetti. Like I really like making spaghetti. I'm not excellent at it. I haven't put in a ton of work, but I enjoy it. Okay. And it's fine. So that's, you know, these are some things in the zone of competence. Then the zone of incompetence is, this is the zone where it is really hard to get it right. You're making mistakes. It's hard work. You have to focus really hard. You really wish you could just eliminate it. Every time it comes up, you know, this is not going to go well for me. And I'll tell you, one of the things that is in my zone of incompetence is doing math out loud. So if someone says, hey, what's 17 plus 27,000? It's going to take me a little bit to figure it out. And I really don't like those questions coming at me. So, you know, all of us have our own things. We're going to go through and see what's in each of these zones for you. So let's see. I want to see first, are there any high level questions about all the stuff I just covered? And please use the chat to send your questions. Okay, great. Oh, there is a question here. So what was the second one again, Amanda? Hi, Amanda. Great. So the zones are zone of genius, zone of excellence, zone of competence, and zone of incompetence. Okay, all good. And I will define zone of genius a little bit more for you in a moment, Shannon. And what's the difference between self-doubt and incompetence? Such a freaking good question. Such a good question. So self-doubt is a habit of the mind. It's a belief system rooted in the idea that I am not enough. I can engage in that habit in any of the zones. I can doubt myself in any of the zones. I'm just buying into a story that I made up that I might not be good enough and that really, really matters. That's self-doubt. And sometimes, you know, there's a healthy thing where we're really self-aware of what's my ability level here? What's my skill level? That's different from self-doubt. Self-doubt comes from a place of, again, scarcity. In conscious leadership language, this would be called being below the line. So that can be with us, really, I believe in probably almost any of the zones. In zone of genius, though, you're not really going to be experiencing self-doubt because you will be so in flow and so self-knowing, self-assured. And so self-doubt is very much like excellence, competence, incompetence. Could still come up while you're in a zone of genius activity for sure. And then we just deal with it, by questioning our stories, and I can get more into that in Q&A. Okay, great. So we're going to move on and dive right in. So I'd love you to get out your papers now And you are, I'm gonna draw up here with you so that you can see what we're working on. So this is your piece of paper. And on the top, I want you to write zone of incompetence. This is often a fun one. People love getting to finally claim their incompetence in different areas. And I love doing it. It's like, oh, what a relief. Okay, that's just my zone of incompetence. So in the middle of the piece of paper, please write do. Leave blanks over here and give yourself some columns. You've got three columns and we've got do, zone of incompetence. Okay, now, as a reminder, the zone of incompetence, these are the things that we are not naturally good at and we don't enjoy doing. These are the things where we really struggle to be successful and it's not fun. So I want you to think about what are the activities that you're doing in your zone of incompetence? Think about your life. What are some things that you're doing now or that you have done in the past that you were just really, really not strong in? So I'm going to make mine math out loud. And I can think of hundreds more. So this is fun. So you guys will have a couple minutes here and you can write them on your page. And then when you have one that you want to share, I'd love if everyone could share something in your zone of incompetence in there. And let's get to know each other a bit this way and see what we have in common and see how we might be different because everybody's zones look different. Other things I've heard in zone of incompetence, I've actually worked with some leaders that have demoted management skills all the way from the zone of excellence, which they thought before they discovered their zone of genius, they thought they were excellent at it. And then they're like, actually, I'm incompetent at that. That's not what I really enjoy. I love leading. I don't love managing. And maybe, so then the question becomes, how can we, you know, remove as much management from your life as possible? And have you really living in that zone of genius where you're leading? So you can see a huge variety of things here. Okay, Maria really dislikes sales. Maria, I didn't know that about you. Totally incompetent when it comes to trying to fix anything. Doug, I know some good fixers over here. I'll send one to your house. and let's see, any other examples? I wouldn't have thought of math out loud, but it's perfect for me. Can you give me more ideas to get my mind going that way? Yes, I can give you some more ideas. Cracking eggs. Singing on key. You know, for me, one of the things that's challenging is if there are more than one people talking to me at a time, I get really flustered. I really like to go in deep with one person or with a group. And when things are coming at me, that's definitely in my zone of incompetence. It creates a lot of stress and tension and anxiety. And I do my very best, but it's really hard. Staying patient with my kids. Yeah, that's a lifelong one, right? I've got two kids. I didn't mention that. I've got two kids, an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. And they actually helped me set up my video studio for this, which is really cool. Bookkeeping, giving people bills. Yeah, a lot of us don't like to charge our clients. We can be overgiving sometimes, and that's a journey too. I'm not good at the writing process for my team. And writing processes in general. Yeah. And that's so important, right? To write up your processes so you have scalable, replicable process and you can learn and iterate. And so that's something that it is super important to find somebody else on your team who can support that or some way to support it. And ideally get you out of that position, because if you're in that position, of course, like then you're part of the bottleneck, and that's not a fun position to be in. So great self-awareness there. Expense reports, dude, with you. So great. I think you guys get it. I'm seeing a lot of really good examples. And James, thank you for sharing that, knowing my own value. So this is an interesting one, because knowing your own value, again, that's story-based. So you have a story that your value is unknowable by you, or that it's, you don't have value. And that can be a habit of the mind, right? And I'm not saying you tell yourself that story all of the time, but a story is not a fact. And this is one of the most critical distinctions, I think, in all of personal development, in all of leadership development, is the ability to distinguish facts and stories, and then to realize who is the storyteller. Guess who it is? It's you. You made up the story, right? You saw some facts, you made up a story about the facts, and then you clung on to them and believed that they were right. And a lot of the book, The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership, dives really deep into this. It's an excellent book, which has definitely changed my life in a number of ways. So I really encourage you to look into that one. I will say that once we discover your zone of genius, and we're going to start working on that today, and it is a process, you will see your own value again. Because there was a time, and it may have been a very long time ago, where you knew your own value. Inherently, we are all deeply valuable. Deeply, deeply valuable. And our soul's essence wants to be expressed by us living in our zone of genius. Our soul's essence wants to be expressed. So the process is not how do I muster it up so I can get up there? The process is how do I let go so I can allow myself to be there? Okay. So we've got a great list here of your activities and zone of incompetence. Let's move on to the next zone. And we're going to go over to the zone of competence. So grab another piece of paper if you have one. If not, just make some more boxes on your page. And again, we want to look at what do you do that's in your zone of competence? So I'm going to add, my husband might argue with this, but I'm going to add pay my bills. Because I'm competent at that. And I'm competent at design. Actually, no. I love doing it. I'm competent at using Adobe Illustrator. That's it. Just competent. And I also don't love it. So someone else needs to do that for me. Okay. So we have some ideas here in zone of competence now. We're writing down our activities. I've heard from other clients that they're competent at, painting their nails. At work, they're competent at giving speeches. It's not something they enjoy, but they get through it. They get by. Whew, glad. Then they're glad it's done. And so for them, what we're working on is how can we, really look for high impact moments where you're going to step into that zone for a short amount of time? How can we support you to make it easier to be in that zone? How can we help you find access to the feeling of being in your zone of genius while you're speaking, even though you're doing an activity that's more in your zone of competence? And that's a really different form of leadership, right? So the leader who is really loves being out there, loves being the outward facing, highly visible, dynamic leader. Often they don't love management. That's a very different kind of leader from the kind of leader who doesn't love public speaking, is less oriented around the one to many communication. So there we're looking for the high impact moments. There's all these strategies here. So let's see what's in your zone of competence. All right, creating presentations, meal planning for the house, and implementing marketing. Yeah, girl, me too. Photography, creating PowerPoint or keynote decks, scheduling, mediating and diplomacy, fundraising, recruiting, hiring, project management. Yes, more scheduling. Yes. Yeah, having a great EA is like the best thing that's ever happened in my whole entire life. Okay, running meetings. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Yeah, so these are lots of things that are, on the one hand, there's some complexity to them. On the other hand, like some of these things, they have a mundane quality. And for a lot of us, that's kind of how the zone of competence sounds. I'm starting to suspect actually that maybe when things feel mundane, it's a story and we just haven't found the interesting part about it yet. That's definitely what I try to encourage my kids to start seeing. Okay, so we get the zone of competence. If there are any questions about this zone, feel free to put them into the chat. And again, most of us can't get out of this zone completely, But we do want to minimize how long we're there. And we often just need to do it to get through life and give ourselves the support we need to live in our zone of genius. All right, let's move on. Where are we going next? What's the next zone? Zone of excellence. Okay, and this is for the high achievers out there. This is the place where you often are earning your gold stars. And these are the activities that you enjoy, you are great at, you have probably worked really hard and long to become as good as you are. It didn't come naturally to you necessarily, not all the elements of it, but you are bringing a lot of your gifts into play. You're very reliable in this area. You know you can show up and do a good job. You know you're going to put in the effort. And here we do experience effort. We experience effort, and hard work feels hard sometimes. When we stay in this zone, we might be great at our jobs, really, really successful in all of the areas in our zone of excellence. However, we still are left at the end of the day with a lingering feeling of, I'm not really sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Something is missing here. There's something that's not enough, or I'm not living up to my potential, or I'm an imposter. And we go into that place of like, it's draining me. So if we really push too hard, this is the zone of harder, better, faster, more often. If we really push too hard here, we are going to start experiencing the symptoms of pre-burnout and burnout. And if you suspect that maybe you're getting kind of close to burnout or you have burnout, there is a quiz. I did not develop it. It's developed by some research psychologists, but there is a quiz available on my website that you can take to assess your own level of burnout. But when we hang out here too long and we don't restore and we don't return home to our essence, to our zone of genius, we are going to get fried. And we're going to have anxiety and we're going to have feelings that I might not be doing the right thing with my life. So it's really hard to find the focus, the purpose, the meaning without pushing harder. And this is where we often use fear as our fuel. And so that might be a little bit of a leap for you to take. So I want to explain what I mean by that. We use fear as our fuel, the fear that we, if we don't work this hard, something bad will happen. And it might be as simple as, people won't see me the way that I want them to see me. It could be kind of like image related, which is very, very common amongst high achievers, that they're very conscious of how they're being perceived. And that's what's at stake. It could also be that that we get afraid that if we don't run this race as fast as we think we're supposed to, that if we slow down, we're going to lose somehow. We're going to lose something. So here in this mode, we're still not living in the present moment. We're often living in the future, making plans of what else we want to achieve and how we want to grow and how we want to be bigger and better. Or we're living in the past. Okay, how did that go? What did that person think of me when I said that? Am I on track compared to the plans I set yesterday? Or 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the plans I set when I graduated from kindergarten and I wanted to go to Harvard, So this is where we get really like caught up in past and future. Who's resonating with this? Yeah, totally makes sense, says Maria, Melissa. I'm a good teacher, but I'm only competent in classroom management and publishing. Definitely burnt out on both. Lots of effort involved. Yeah. And thank you very much for being a teacher and doing the work that you do. It is a ton of work. It's really, really important work. And I believe that there's a way for you to bring your genius back into your work, or maybe it's time for a change. So let's explore that next. I think everyone's got clarity here. You've got some items written down. And now for the fun part. Good work and sticking with us this long too. Let's move into your zone of genius. All right. So the zone of genius, these again are the activities where we shine. We might not even know it, but we shine effortlessly here. It's easy. We find flow. It might be very, very obvious, something like, great singing voice. Like when I'm singing, I'm in my zone of genius. I'm in flow. I'm creative. I don't care about the past or the future. I am fully alive in the present. And I'm almost effortlessly creating value. And the effort is I don't have to push myself. I want to be doing this. I want to work hard at this. This is my happy place. And I want to say that defining the zone of genius and having it really, really clear what that is, this may be a process for you. Most clients really aren't quite sure what to put in the do column yet. Or you might feel really torn between, is that in my zone of excellence or is that in my zone of genius? Who's the one that wants to do it? Is it me or is it my projection of, you know, my parents, or I'm imagining what people think of me, and that's really what's driving me. So, but in your zone of genius, you're driving you. So I'll share a couple that I've seen come up. So one of my clients discovered that part of his zone of genius is in integrating knowledge from a whole bunch of different areas and creating systems that then can bring his vision to life through this company. So he's a founder and CEO, and he's able to digest, you know, psychology and science and art and literature and create these like beautiful organizational systems and management processes that really allows culture to thrive in his company. I didn't mention, but you know, culture is one of the big things I do. I should have mentioned that at the beginning. I'm a partner in a firm called Evolution, and we are big into culture building. We make investments in startups. We do coaching, we do trainings, we do facilitation. And that's, you know, those are my people. It's an awesome, awesome team. So I really encourage you to check them out later. It's not related to this. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned it. So, okay. Zone of genius, activities that are there. So other things I've heard, you know, for myself, one of the things that I'm genius in is creating spaces of exquisite trust where people can explore all parts of themselves, where people can be challenged and in a space of love, where they can feel the support of love and yet receive the challenge to be really who they are and to kind of drop the stories that are holding them back, which takes a lot of courage at first, right? So creating that space of trust. And that one is, you know, it's very subtle. It's like, how'd she come up with that? I've been through a lot of process around discovering my zone of genius, some of which is going to be offered in my 6-week course. For today, we're going to do the beginning of the process. So I'm hoping that you've found some items in your zone of genius. Let's hear it. What's there? James, networking, creating connections, designing and building companies, setting the strategy, figuring out how to bring a vision to life, developing content, nurturing talent, working with parents and teachers, writing, creating and launching new projects and ventures, building relationships, reading the room, using my emotional intelligence, helping other people grow, beautiful, leading creative teams, storytelling, sculpting, furthering employee happiness, automating companies to free up time. Yes, you guys, if you were all doing all of this all of the time, can you imagine what a beautiful world we would have? Can you imagine what life would be? I mean, that is, I have goosebumps. These are fantastic activities. And if we were all really willing to step into our genius and live there all of the time, we can really address a lot of society's massive problems. And that is desperately needed right now. And this is very, very, very important work. So if your inner critic is saying, I don't deserve to do these things all the time, or how silly to think that I could make this the primary way that I live, I could make this the primary part of my life, I want to tell that person, that part of you, to just step aside and let's talk to your soul now. Because that part's not in charge. That part doesn't get to be in charge right now. It can stay there. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not what we're doing right now. So I want to talk to your soul. I want you to connect with, when I'm in my zone of genius, not just what are my activities, whether they're public facing or private, you know, whether they're at work or in play, whether they're in family life, personal life, whether they're just completely yours and yours alone, like being in nature and appreciating beautiful art. All those are possible, right? So I want you to think about what you're doing. And then I want you to think, like, close your eyes and imagine yourself doing some of those activities. And how do you feel? And how are you being? In the left-hand column of your spreadsheet, write the word be. Okay, think about be. How are you being? So words in the be column might be things like, I'm being free. I'm being inspired. I'm being awestruck. I'm being creative. I'm being in flow. I'm being timeless. I'm losing track of time. I'm being kind. I'm being loving. I'm being open. I'm being curious. I'm being focused. I'm being driven. I'm being connected. These are things I've heard my clients say in their zone of genius. This is how they're being there. And really, like, let that sink into your whole body. What's it like when you're that way? How does that feel to you? Probably feels open and smooth and flowing, or it might feel like invigorating. I feel like, but your energy is moving really well through your body. This is where you're going to find wellness, balance. Okay. Great. So these are some ways you're being. And I'm hearing you say, you know, I'm being authentic. I'm being creative. I'm being generous, joyous, curious, creative, seen, beautiful, alive. Absolutely. This is all about like your full aliveness. This is you. This is you. Being alive. This is your essence. And you don't need to lose this. You don't need to lose this to succeed. This is you. And not only are you enough right now, you've always been enough. You've always had this as part of you. And if you're not quite there yet and you're still not clear, there are other tools that can help you find clarity by receiving feedback from others. And that's something that we do in my 6-week course. It's also described in a few books that I'll mention at the end. So it's totally fine if you're not there. Wherever you are in this process is totally, totally fine. And it's what's most important here is we're working on the self-awareness piece. We just want to discover, like, how in touch am I with what I'm doing and how I'm being? And what are my hypotheses about what's in my zone of genius and how I'm being when I'm there? Now, I also want you to make a list on the right-hand side of your piece of paper called Have. And this Be, Do, Have model is something that we use a lot at Evolution. I think it's really solid. So Have, this is your results. What is the impact that you create on yourself and on others when you are in your zone of genius? And these might be results like rewards that come to you. This might be experiences that you or others get to have. It's the mark that you leave on the world when you are being your best, when you're actually effortlessly, easily, creatively living your purpose, and you are living up to your full potential. Any moment you spend here, you are at your full potential. You can always get better. Everyone can always get better. But that is your full potential once you're here. So I want to hear, what are some of the results that you have? Thanks, Ed. Bye. Connection. Connection from Susan. Fulfillment. Yeah. Uplifting to others. Flow and joy. Excitement. Recognition. Being remembered. Confidence, strength. Yeah, you create those results. Who creates them? You do. You create the results by doing these things and by being here. All those things that we're looking for, and we're often looking so in the wrong direction, they're all here. Awesome. Let's briefly touch upon the next three zones. I want us to be able to compare and to get some muscle memory about this so that we can quickly and intuitively know which zone we're in at any given time. So we're going to go back to the zone of excellence now. We're going to work our way on down the ladder. And same thing here. How are you being when you're in your zone of excellence? And what are the results that you have on yourself, others, the world? These might be, you know, again, they might be external rewards. They might be intrinsic rewards. So how are you being? Sense of pride. Well, these are still zone of genius. Yeah, when you have something in the being column, let us know. When I'm in my zone of genius, I am being focused. I'm being methodical. I'm being sometimes a bit rigid. A lot of times a bit rigid, maybe more than a bit. I'm being very, very in my head, very cognitive. I'm being a little tense in my body, just like ever so slightly, just a little difference there. And I'm being out of presence. I am being thinking about the future or judging myself in the past. Also, if you look at the have column, what am I having? Well, I'm having credibility. I'm having, monetary rewards. I'm having career success in certain ways. I'm having an orderly home. I'm having, really beautiful children. Like some of parenting for sure is in my zone of excellence. I bring my gifts. I really enjoy doing it, but there are parts that are very challenging for me where I don't have access to like really strong natural gifts. And I'm on that journey of developing them and figuring out where my genius fits into my parenting. And that's something I'm like more and more clear on, which is very, very exciting. As a parent to be in that place with your children and letting them grow that way too. So this is the zone of excellence. So have a couple of things in the B column, a couple of things in the do column. Anyone want to share? Yeah. Okay. So Michael, excelling, being righteous, ambitious, motivated, structured. Structured says Sarah. Susan, OCD. Totally. Yeah, me too. My mom, calm, excited, and fulfilled, productive, focused. Yep. These are very, very common. So you know what increases all of these things is a little tinge of fear. So when we can get our cortisol level up, that way of thinking gets turned on in our brain and our nervous system changes. We're carrying a little bit of stress. Might be kind of a healthy, positive stress. It might be a negative, unhealthy stress that's really damaging to our body over the long term. So probably we use a combination of those types of stress to keep us going and to help us stay in this zone longer, simply because we've learned over time that there are so many rewards for putting in high effort. This is like hardwired into us at an early age when we're encouraged, hey, learn this thing. And usually there's a very narrow range of what we're encouraged to learn and to grow in. So it's we're often really far out of our zone of genius in those places that earn extrinsic rewards at school, right? Okay, so let's move on to the zone of competence. Same thing. How are you being and what are you doing? In my zone of competence, it's very clear. I'm being bored. I'm being irritated. I'm being distractible. I'm being OCD there too. I might like hyper-focus just to really try to get something done if I've got to get through it. I'm being procrastinating. And so some of the results that I have there are, I get by. I have order. I have basic order in my life. Things are not falling apart. Like that is huge. That is so important to me. And it's totally worth all the pain. But I'm also having, fatigue, burnout, irritation, impatience. I'm making errors. I might let stuff really stack up. So I'm sending things in late. Like it's just really far out of my zone of genius. Okay. So I'm hearing that Sarah is being focused, but not joyful, doing by rote. Yeah, Anji says, okay. Ajni, sorry. Procrastination City. I hear you, Anna. And Rodrigo says slow. Yeah. So yeah, so there's a, it's a very different tone, and you can see some common threads there that a lot of us are just, ugh, we don't really want to do it. It's not feeling good. We quickly get overwhelmed, anxious, high effort. Yeah, I'm seeing all of those responses come in. So you're definitely getting it. Okay, last one, zone of incompetence. Let her rip, feel the pain. The more uncomfortable you can make yourself feel as you do this, the more motivated you will be to commit to living in your zone of genius. So go for it. How are you being when you're so far out of your zone of genius? You are incompetent. I'm being freaked out. I am being completely irrational. I'm definitely being unsuccessful. My, you know, the results I'm having are negative. I'm making mistakes. I'm making errors. And then I get, you know, wound up about it, and it creates problems. And, you know, I might start like trying to escape and move into a different activity really quickly, or even a different career path. And you know, all of that is probably really good because it helps me to move out of my zone of incompetence. So I think that if you look at the windy path I've taken from, you know, when I was young acting to, being a manager in technology and working in startups and then getting a PhD and then teaching and doing research and then consulting and then coaching, executive of a startup in the middle there, it's a windy road, right? I can't even keep track of all the stages. So, and I think a lot of it was just that, you know, the discomfort of I'm in my zone of incompetence. I don't like this. I've got to move out and find something else. Now, you think I didn't receive any negative feedback along the way about that? No, of course I did. The world rewards consistency in many, many ways. But I want to say quitting is not bad. You do not have to suffer to succeed. It's okay to change. Your self-expression is allowed to change. What might have been really fulfilling yesterday might not be anymore. That's okay too. But if you're in your zone of incompetence, like any significant percentage of the time, and I'm talking like 10% or above, then you want to really get focused on how do I get that stuff out of my life? How do I outsource? How do I minimize? How do I eliminate? There's got to get really creative here and enlist your genius qualities to help you create the life that you want. And that's something that, you know, I work with clients on for a very, you know, many months, because it is a process. This whole thing is a process. Okay, so now we're clear. I'm hearing that you're frustrated, you're angry, you're stubborn, you're bored, unproductive, awkward, shy, resistant, down on myself. My ADHD kicks in, beating myself up, annoyed, being angry, self-critical, sad. That's a pretty good list. That's pretty solid. Anyone have pain? Nauseated and panicky. Okay, so we're feeling it in the body. Panicked. Do we start getting the neck pain, the jaw, the low back, the headaches, any of that? Knots in my stomach. Stomach. Lots of stomach. Yep. So we're hearing a lot of gut. That's interesting. I get neck pain. Tired, nervous, sweaty. Yeah. TMJ. Jaw stuff. All right, cool. So same page. We're definitely on the same page here. Now, if you consider how different these lists are from each other, it should make it much easier for you to begin to distinguish, you know, how are you spending your time in your life? So I want to move on to the final phase of this exercise and look at how much time are you spending in each of these four zones right now in your life, in the way that your life is currently set up? How much time are you spending in these four zones? So you can just give them a percentage. How much time in your zone of incompetence, competence, excellence, and genius? And it could be that in some you don't know, you totally give a range. You could, I want you to try to not just put a question mark or a blank and think that you'll figure it out later. This is your chance. We're live right now. Make a guess. Just guess. Doesn't matter. You're allowed to be wrong. It's all a story anyway. This is just a framework to help us find our bliss and make the impact we need to have here. Okay. So Michael's in his zone of incompetence 10% of the time, competence 50%, excellence 30%. And genius 10% of the time. Mm-hmm. So a lot of time in the zone of competence. And that might be similar for many of you, especially if you're feeling like you're in a rut. So we know now, you know, how much time you're currently spending. And, you know, for some, they might currently estimate that it's, you know, mostly, you know, I'm really great at my job. I'm mostly in my zone of excellence, but I am totally burnt out. I'm fried. I'm unfulfilled. I'm hardly ever in my genius. I'm not even sure if I know what it is. And I do still spend a lot of time in my zone of incompetence, my zone of competence. So whatever this mix looks like for you, there's no wrong answer. And there's absolutely nothing beneficial about self-blaming. And if you're self-blaming, that's okay. Don't blame yourself. Don't meta-blame. Don't meta-blame. Okay. So we know kind of roughly how much you're spending. You're making a guess. And here's what we want to move your percentages to. We're not going to finish this today. Today's the beginning. We're in the self-awareness phase. But what my clients commit to, if they choose, the dare is spend 70% of your time in your zone of genius. Spend, and then in your zone of incompetence, get it, zero. Zero. Wouldn't that be awesome? Isn't that awesome? I feel like I'm pretty close to this one, which has been a journey. So then in between here, you've got your zones of excellence and your zone of competence. And these zones, what we want to do is instead of having them just be self-fulfilling prophecies and just like kind of spiral around and like you're fluctuating between the two because, you know, burnout or overwhelm sends you back down to competence. And then like you recover and you go back up to excellence. Like a lot of us are in this swirl, right? And the rewards keep us going for too long. And then we blink. So what I want to shift it to is for my zones of excellence and competence to actually complement and support me in living in my zone of genius. That's the goal. So I don't want these to be self-fulfilling. I really want them here. I need some of them. I want them to be supporting my zone of genius. So what this mix looks like exactly for you, you know, may vary. I generally recommend, why not aim for only, you know, only 5% of your time in your zone of incompetence or your zone of competence. Why not aim for 20% in your zone of excellence and 70% in your zone of genius? Right? So that's the goal. Now, as I share that dare with you, and I know leaders who do this, who have done it, it's real. As I share this with you, I want to hear like what comes up. So as you think about, whoa, this could be what my life is. What comes up for you? For some of you, it may be really, really pleasurable feelings. Like you really begin to imagine what it would be like to live up here in your zone of genius. And you feel all of those feelings almost as if you're there. You go into the way of being, even if you're not doing those activities. It is much more about the being than the doing, right? So you can get yourself into that feeling. That means you're actually being it right now. Some of you, on the other hand, might really be experiencing a lot of fear. Like if I let go of this 25, you know, if I let go of my excellence and competence this much, and if I let go of my incompetence, all of these really bad things are going to happen and it will mean something about me. Fear. And check, just check. Be really, really honest with yourself here. Like what comes up for you? And there's no right or wrong. You're doing great if you are here and if you're focusing on just curious self-awareness without judgment. And again, this is not just a selfish activity. The world needs you to do this. So let's discover, let's dig into the basement here and get into the muck. What comes up? Okay. doubt and uncertainty on how to transform. So I start thinking, I don't know enough about how to make this happen. I might not be able to do it. Yeah, fear. And it says 100%. Seems like my life and the lives of those who depend on me will crumble. Mm-hmm. Very common story, right? Not a fact, but a story. We just don't know how to get there. And that's actually always the case. We just imagine to ourselves, we know how to get there sometimes. Path. How do I get from here to Zone of Genius? Yeah. So there's a lot of fear here and a lot of focus on how. How do I get there? How do I change my life that way? So when we start thinking about how, the question how, what do we then do to remove the feelings that go with that question? How? I'm not sure. Fear. How do we remove the feeling? Often we're going to start making a bunch of plans about what we can do. How do I do it? What can I do? We make a list. How do I get there as fast as I can? And we start doing more. Harder, better, faster, more. Welcome to your zones of excellence, competence, and incompetence. Welcome back to burnout. And that's why it doesn't work to focus so much on the question of how right now. Because it's not so much about what you're going to do to get there and how you're going to muscle through it and kind of force it. It's very much about how you allow. How could you allow yourself to just show up in this way and to start moving into this zone? And what if it was just really, really easy to get there? So I know that might be really tricky for some of you to imagine. Just stick with me here. All right. Remember that feeling of genius that you had in your body when you look at your B list and how pleasurable that is. And now I want you to feel all these fears you have about how to get there. So shake off the genius feeling. Now we feel the fear. You might have this, all these stories about how you don't deserve it. You won't be able to pull it off. The world will crumble. So just imagine now that you could be completely free of those fears. And actually close your eyes. And we're going to take like two breaths. I'm going to guide you through. So I want you to breathe in for a count of two. One, two, and then breathe out for a count of four. One, two, three, four. In for two. One, two. Out for four. One, two, three, four. And that little 2x4 breath helps you begin to soothe your nervous system, and it turns on your parasympathetic nervous system, which really, really helps you with accessing the zone of genius. Because when we can be self-regulated and open and curious, we are calm. When we are calm, we can be more open and curious. And that's what's required to access the zone of genius. So the question is just, how could I get myself more curious? How can I get myself more turned on by the pleasure of what's up here? And there are lots of ways to do that. So I want you first to just give yourself a big hand. Like this is a process. You made it through a big exercise and you got to discover some things about yourself that you figured out probably you are not alone in your experience. And that's huge. So I want you to keep focusing on this is just about self-awareness. It's not about getting busy. And usual kind of self-care routines apply to this type of an exercise. So tonight, I do want you to make some extra time for yourself. Do your very best to do something that is just soothing. You know, if you can take a shower or just spend an extra 5 minutes in bed reading a book or doing something really chill. It'll help the learning, the self-awareness kind of sink into your cells so that you can begin to embody what you've learned instead of needing to do something about it, which usually, you know, you end up right back where you were. Okay. Surgeon's rule. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. So we don't want to be too herky-jerky about what we do with this. We just want to say, okay, I want to set an intention here. Maybe you want to aim for being up here 50% of the time right now. And just open to allow that that some support's going to come in to help you do that. That somehow it's going to begin to unfold for you if you can maintain curiosity. And I want to point you to a couple of resources because this is the beginning of a lot of exercises. And I take the members of my 6-week course and my year-long leadership forums, I take them through this whole process and we go very, very deep. We receive a lot of feedback from others. We synthesize that, we get reflections back, we get to really work through it and figure it out. And then we get to dive in and apply it to our lives, our whole entire lives. And when we start doing that, that's when we start bumping into like our resistance. The part of ourselves that wants to hold back, that doesn't want to allow, that gets scared. So the more we implement, the more we get to like shed those layers because we'll bump into them, work them, and then we can remove them and they're gone. So this is powerful, powerful stuff. And a lot of these exercises also, you can read about them and then you can guide yourself through them. So I really highly recommend the Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, as well as his more recent book, The Joy of Genius, which focuses explicitly on this. And he's got a lot of amazing exercises in there. So if you're the kind of person that could pick up a book and start getting busy and doing the exercises and sending out some surveys to your friends and getting the feedback back, like a lot of this is very, very self-learnable. It's really, really helpful if you can work with a group. So I've facilitated groups like this, in a coaching kind of a way. I can go to companies and do it. You can also form your own group around this. And if you're going to do that, please reach out to me and I can send you some materials. So getting with a group so that you guys can help each other work through the material will be really helpful in helping you to complete it. If you are itching to get started right away, you don't have a group, definitely I want you to check out my course. So it's at kenille.com/genius. And this is a workshop that I actually created by popular demand from my clients and their friends. And so I'm now like offering a course online. It's a fraction of the cost of what it usually costs to do this with me in an in-person forum type setting. So that's a really great opportunity and you're going to go really deep and it's going to be fantastic. And another thing I really want to point you to is there are a lot of excellent videos on the CLG website. So that's the Conscious Leadership Group, who's behind the book, The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. A lot of my work is inspired by theirs. I work closely with them and I know that work really deeply. Their videos are excellent. So they do have a video on Zone of Genius on their website, which is conscious.is. And I will continue blogging about this and putting up some blogs and videos. And you can get linked to those from my website. My website, you can also link through to evolution.team and learn about my team over there at Evolution and all the wonderful coaches that are there. So that's it for today. That's the material. We're going to move into Q&A now. I'm sure that a lot of questions came up and there are some needs, some self-recognition that a little coaching might be helpful. You're also welcome to just ask a question by typing. So round of applause. Awesome work. All right, we're going to start the Q&A now. And it's going to be a different method. We're going to actually use the Q&A feature of Zoom so that we can better facilitate surfacing questions and making sure that things get answered. Heather is my amazing director of operations. She's going to be chiming in and going through. And again, if you can't find this button, Elena does all of my producing and she's on the line and she can help you with the tech stuff as well. So she's in New York and online for you. So you can send her a private message.
I'm going to go ahead and jump in with some questions that we've had while you've been going. The first one is the zone of genius always innate talent, not learned?
Zone of genius. Okay, great. Great. So zone of genius. Yes. It's rooted in some innate talents and skills that you either developed very, very early in life or were just innately yours. And I actually believe probably most of them were innately yours and they are very, very subtle, right? So there are things like, you know, emotional intelligence is a fantastic example. Some people are really just born with that gift. Some people are born connectors. Others are just born artists. They just always have been. They've noticed the colors and the light and form. Others are really attuned to music. So lots of innate talents. The learning then, you know, you apply learning to enhance your ability to express these gifts. So one of my heroes, David Bowie, he's like a change master, right? He not only created a lot of incredible albums and movies and zillions of other things, but he also created these different characters, right? He moved from being Ziggy Stardust to being Aladdin Sane, and he had lots of various characters that he would embody. He allowed himself to change, right? The expression changed, and even the medium changed as he would move into film and books. But his genius comes through no matter what. The way that he sees how important uniqueness is, the way that he understands the human experience and the way, you know, humans come together and create and use technology. Like all of that comes from this kind of inner essence that probably we can't even really put names to. So that stuff is innate. The learning complements and helps us express, which is awesome because everybody can learn. And so we can learn to express our genius in a huge variety of ways, which is why I focus on not just the doing, but the being. Because if you can bring the being into a new arena of doing, now you have the option to be in your genius in all sorts of different ways. So it gives you a much bigger repertoire, and it means you don't necessarily have to quit your job and rearrange your whole entire life, but you need to allow yourself to show up that way. Okay, next question.
Okay, the next question. What if you have something that makes you happy, but it's also painful because of limited time or the way your life is set up? So it's tainted in a way, and it's hard to see how to fully enjoy this thing about major life shifts.
Yeah. So, what comes to mind for me is, I used to, when I was working on my PhD, I would spend about an hour in the morning writing, and I was writing to get my head straight. I was writing personal stuff. I was just free writing in my journal, and I'd go to my favorite cafe and I'd have a cup of coffee, and then I'd like go to the farmer's market on the way home. It was idyllic. I had no children. There was no car involved. I was in Berkeley. It was beautiful. It was so awesome. And that, like, just writing in my journal is one of my favorite things in life. And it's definitely one of the ways that my genius comes through. Again, it's private, but it helps me to like access that genius way of being. And then I can bring it with me everywhere else I go. However, once I had babies, that morning routine was not possible anymore because I'd wake up and I'd get woken up by the kids. I take care of them. It was, you know, very, very hands-on and very busy. And so I really missed journaling, and I was being pretty rigid about it needs to fit into this one routine. So when I even thought about journaling for the next couple of years, I would say, okay, I do have 10 minutes now. I could get started. But the time was so limited, and I would just be like, it's so far away. I can't do it. I just can't do it. It'll never be like how it was. And, you know, I get into my whole inner sob story. So I find that if I can stay in my zone, in the being part of my zone of genius, I may not be journaling the same way that I was, but the genius in me that I was bringing to the journaling, I can bring with me doing a huge variety of activities. I don't need to be sitting at a cafe in Berkeley writing in my journal. So yes, it does sometimes really ache. And the ache comes from, again, the story of not enough. Story of scarcity, right? When that story gets clicked on, then we feel that ache and we're out of our zone of genius. So just question the story. The story is not a fact. There is enough. You already are a genius. All right, next question.
Okay, here's the next question. It feels like I have to spend lots of time and competence and excellence in order to achieve the space for genius. Mm-hmm. Feels like my career doesn't allow for anything else. Is mm-hmm. there any way in which that's true, where you hustle for a period of time until you break through and rebalance?
Such a good question. I don't know that there is a technical answer to that question. And I'm not sure that we need one, because this is sort of metaphysical in a way, right? It's not something we can directly measure. So I think of it as each of us has our own journey to get there. And along that road, we are going to pass through some times where the best that we can do is figure out how to use our excellence and our competence. And that is us in our full potential then. we also made some choices, usually, that helped, didn't totally control, but helped us to get into that position. And it's the self-awareness of, oh, I created this and now I'm learning something and now I'm going to move forward to the next thing that's better for me. That's really the thing to focus on here. So your journey does not need to involve suffering. You don't need to either step out of your zone of excellence and competence, or, and you don't also don't need to cling to it necessarily. You don't need to lose your job. It might really feel like right now I need to hustle to create the freedom, but I would just invite you to question that story and see, is it really true? And one of the most powerful questions from conscious leadership is, are you willing to see how the opposite of that story is at least as true? And so here the flip would be, are you willing to see that actually, if you stepped into your zone of genius, you would excel at your job? And that actually you focusing on excellence and competence now in the way that you are is making it harder and harder for you to have the life that you're envisioning and imagining. And there's no right or wrong answer.
All right, next question. Nicole asks, she's a little unclear on the distinction between competence and excellence. Mm-hmm. Is it how much you enjoy it or how skilled you are at both? She says she's great at client management. She's done it for dozens of years and she's worked at it, but she also hates it. Where does that go?
That goes in competence. Yeah. So if you don't enjoy it, it's incompetence. You can do it, but you're not bringing your joy. It's not giving you any life.
All right. Next question. Nick says, if you're at a company who pays you to operate in your zone of excellence and competence, any best practices for getting up to the zone of genius while other basic things still need to be done and you're responsible? Or do most people ultimately need to move into different roles, companies to get up to a higher percentage of time in their zone of genius?
Not at all. So again, this is largely about the being, not just the doing. So what I'm hearing is, you know, I need to move up to be able to live in my zone of genius. And it could be that the activities that are in your zone of genius list in the do column in the center, that those activities are not part of your formal job description. However, they may be an easy access point for you to access that way of being. So they're like a path. Now, you can do those activities outside of work, and that will help give you the juice to more easily begin to find it at work, whether in your current role or the next role. You could also look at how can I find more ways to bring the subtle essence of my genius into the activities I currently have in my job. So I would look at your being column in genius, and I would say, what would it look like if I were doing the things that are in my zone of competence from this way of being? What would it look like if I were paying my bills from, you know, in a space that is, you know, for me, it'd be like a, how could I come at that like in a really flowy, beautiful, creative, interesting way? How could I make that sexy for me? Like, could I, you know, have a really awesome cup that I only use and I have my special tea and I make a ritual out of it? Like, how can I bring my genius into it? And if it's things at work, then it's also the process of how do I begin to create new agreements and negotiate for a new role and gradually begin to minimize the amount of time I'm spending on those zones and ask for me to be able to do some activities that are in that zone of genius for me. So it is, I mean, this is why, you know, I work with people for a year on this. There are so many different levels to you moving toward your zone of genius. And some of them are very easy and some of them are, you know, quite intense strategically speaking. And you know, how do I get that raise? How do I get promoted where I can be in my zone of genius up there so easily. In the meantime, it is more like, how can I allow myself to be in that zone of being no matter what I'm doing? Next question.
Sarah, she asks, she's heard people operate out of either fear or love, just one or the other. Do you agree? And what are your thoughts on how to move into love or at least out of fear?
Yes, I do agree. I do think that's what it all boils down to. Fear or love? I think that's the question that most of us are asking most of the time. We just don't know it. Almost every question is that question. And it maps really well onto you know, the different findings around our nervous system and the different ways that we think in our brain. I think there's a lot of things that suggest that it is all about fear versus love. I also believe that fear, that there are different forms of fear. So I want to add some nuance to this distinction. Fear, there's a fear that involves a story that we might suffer, that we're going to lose something. There's a threat and we feel really convinced that that threat is real. In CLG terms, we feel right about it. We feel really, really right that there is a threat and it matters and it's personal and the impact is going to be really, really bad and there's no way out. And when we're in that mode, we're in the drama triangle. We're in drama with ourselves. We're in some way, we're in a mode of victimhood. And I can get more into that in another video. But when we're in that mode, that form of fear, that's the one I think that's the feels more like the opposite of love to me, where we're kind of convinced that love is not here or that I am not full of love. There's another form of fear, which actually is very healthy, curious, normal, and a really, really good sign that you are living closer to your zone of genius, that you're, because what fear, the intelligence of fear is, I'm going to learn something. There's something here I don't know. There's an excellent chapter on emotional intelligence in the book, The 15 Commandments of Conscious Leadership. And I'm also going to send out a handout that gives you a body map so you can begin to distinguish, you know, the different types of fear that show up for you and how they show up in your body. But that form of fear of like, I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm really aware. I'm alert. You know, coming into this morning, I was definitely like, okay, there's a lot going on. All right. You should see what this place looks like. Lots of lights set up and this clear dry erase board and all these logistics and technology. And, you know, okay, there's a lot going on. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I'm aware. I'm highly aware. I'm taking in a lot of information. I'm doing a lot of processing, but I'm still present. I'm present. I'm not catastrophizing. I'm not imagining something bad's going to happen. So I think that form of fear, you can probably expect a whole lot more of that when you step into your zone of genius, that it's the zone of learning, right? It's the zone of curiosity. And it really contributes to consciousness. And from there, I think like really all the emotions are just another flavor of love, but might be kind of too complicated to explain it that way. Hope that answered your question. It's a really interesting question.
All right, Michael asks, do you think we naturally move toward or away from our genius? To be clearer, I know we move away from creative genius and have to fight to regain it. Does this apply universally, you think?
I think that's kind of the process, is moving away from habitually creating that little kick of threat or fear that that kicks off a self-defeating process, right? It begins that when we get that little tinge of fear, because we have a habitual story we keep telling ourselves, then we're going to have to work pretty hard to stay in the zone of genius, because we'll have to keep remembering, oh yeah, I'm a genius. Oh yeah, go back to that zone. And there is something called resistance, which you're right, happens around creative work especially. And I do think it applies equally to the zone of genius. The ego, like the part of ourselves that learned to protect ourselves when we were young from the judgments and threats from the outside, that ego part of us, super, super important part of us, right? Keeps us safe, helps us to negotiate the world. But that ego does not want to lose control. Its whole entire mission is control and safety. And so when you start getting close to something where you're realizing I'm not in control, I'm in flow. I'm not going to keep thinking about the future or the past. I'm now applying all of my gifts. I don't need that fear anymore. Then the ego is going to kick in and boom, you've got resistance. So the process and the work of self-development, working with a coach, a great coach is going to go right at that. That's what you're working on. How to release resistance so that you can allow yourself to be who you really are.
Melissa is still struggling to imagine getting beyond a small percentage of time in her genius.
Melissa, can you say more about that? In chat, maybe?
Yep, we'll leave.
Let's come back to
that
one.
And we'll wait and see if she does, okay? Greg is asking, how do you get in the practice of questioning stories if one of your passions is being a storyteller?
How do you get in the practice of questioning stories if one of your passions is being a storyteller? Interesting. So, yeah, I mean, storytelling, super important skill. I've taught a lot of storytelling workshops. I'm very, very passionate about it. Those kinds of stories, I realize I'm crafting them. I'm on purpose. I'm intentionally creating a story. I'm passionate about it. I want to communicate something and give people a taste of a human experience through that story. The whole time I'm very conscious I'm storytelling. The difference is sometimes we non-consciously tell ourselves stories. And unfortunately, most of those stories are negative, and most are going to be rooted in scarcity somewhere if you look. So when we start telling ourselves a story such as, I'm never going to be good at public speaking. If I believe that story and I believe it's a fact, or I believe I can't quit my job because then da 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 da, or I will not get promoted because, you know, the world's unfair and there's bias against me, and I'm just right about that. When I feel that rightness, I'm righteous about, you know, I'm stuck, then yeah, like I'm very far from my zone of genius. I am stuck. I'm sticking myself. I'm making up a story and believing it. And it's non-conscious. I'm not taking ownership of the fact that I created the story. Does that make sense? Great. What's the next question? And I think we have, how many more minutes do we have here? We plan to go 90 minutes, and I'm actually going to stick around longer. So I'm just going to give a couple parting words for those who, you know, calendared this out and need to bounce. But I'm going to stick around and get to all these questions, and you're welcome to keep sending them. So I want to offer a couple reminders. Like, one, congratulations, you're here. You were willing to explore this. Two, this is a process. No matter where you are in the process and what the process looks for you and how bumpy it is, it's a process, and it's okay. It's okay. And there are proven tools and technologies that can be used to support you in whatever you want this to look like for you. So I want everyone to just imagine and actually grab another piece of paper. We're going to take a little 1 minute Q&A break. I want you to imagine, what might it look like if this could be easy for you? What do you want the process of moving towards your zone of genius, what do you want that process to be like? So you could write some adjectives, like, I want it to be fast. I want it to be gentle. I want it to be effortless. You could also, you know, you might have some concrete ideas that are coming to mind. Like, I want to do this with a group, or I want to do this later. Totally fine answer. Or, you know, I want to do this, and this is the only thing I want to do. So whatever's coming up, write it down. And then I want you to think about, what's something that gets in the way? What's going to make it challenging for you to have it be that way? What comes up? What are the obstacles and challenges, you think? And these could be internal, like stories, self-talk. Or they could be external challenges you're not sure how you're going to wrestle with. And then lastly, what support would you want? So if this could be radically easy for you and it could go at exactly the pace you want it to go at, what would you want to ask for or receive? Put some things on there that are so big you think it's ridiculous that you'd never, ever get it. I find that those come true more often. So, so big, like your total dream. Now, if you want to keep exploring this, whatever's on your list, I'd love if you guys would, you know, maybe post on Instagram and tag me your picture. I'm at Camille.is. I want to see, what do you want this process to look like for you and any of the artifacts you created today? Definitely, if you're curious about my course, you can learn about it at Camille.com/genius. It's a 6-week program that we stretch out over the course of 8 weeks. We give you a little break in between. We do a lot of the heavy lifting for you that in the self-directed exercise that are in the books, we do a lot of that for you on our end. We've got great technology to support you in getting excellent feedback from all the people who know you, love you, and see your genius. And my clients, when they do this process, they are moved to tears very often by being seen and realizing they have been being seen as that like lovable, wonderful person they are. Like the consistency is amazing. So I really would love to see you there. If you're curious about it, I'll just put your email in on that list and I'll send you more information when I have it and when the launch date is set and when applications open up. Actually, I think we're going to open up applications today, so you can go ahead and apply. If you're curious about anything else, coaching, you have any questions about how this might apply in your management team, I'm here for your questions and I'm happy to, take your emails as well. So thank you so much to those of you who have to go. Thank you for being here. And we're going to keep going with Q&A. All right. Next question.
Okay. So Nicole asks, do you have any resources to recommend if we need better help identifying and defining our personal zone of genius?
Yes. I really recommend Gay Hendricks' book, The Joy of Genius. I think that's the most comprehensive book available. And it includes a lot of hands-on exercises that you do, often with paper, or you might ponder them in your life. So that's where I'd go. And I'd also look at the video that went out in the first email. Some of you didn't get that first email. I think the spam filters canceled us out because we put too many pictures in the email or something. So there's a video in there. So if you go into your spam and search for it, it's also, I think, available on my website. So there's an 11-minute video that's got different content. And then in terms of exercises, I am going to email out some handouts that complement the handwritten work you did today. And you can dive in deeper again. So you can print them out fresh or do it on a computer. And then you can go through this exercise again. What I recommend is then begin to talk about this with people that you admire, that know you, that you trust. It doesn't have to be every single one of those on the checkbox, but go and talk to people about Zone of Genius. Let them know what it is, or send them a link to my shorter video, and then they can learn what it is. And then you can begin to ask for feedback. So what are the ways that I impact you? What's something that you see me when you see me do it? I seem to be in flow and I seem full of joy. What's the value that is created when I'm in the room? Some of these are really great questions that you can begin to ask and gather feedback and look for patterns that go across all of those. All right, next question.
Well, Melissa followed up and she said, is there a first step towards envisioning a life where you live most of your time in the zone of genius? I'm not very good at journaling, so maybe a meditation type technique or something you can talk through with a friend or a mentor.
I think you answered your own question, Melissa. So I recommend a meditation technique and talking to a friend or mentor. So meditation wise, it kind of depends on where you think your resistance is. So if you have a lot of the negative self-talk, then it might be that doing some loving kindness meditation and doing some that's self-focused would be really, really helpful and healing for you. I think all meditation in general really like helps you to get there. You want to find the one that feels juicy to you. So for me personally, I find a lot of my genius through like my body, through movement. And there's a couple genius activities I can do that get me in the headspace, that get me in the body space. So one of them is like dancing in the mirror. And when I dance in the mirror, to certain songs, I can definitely get myself there, or listening to certain songs and singing them really loud in my car. Those are two of my tricks. Swimming in the ocean. There's three. Okay. So I can do any of those. And then quickly I'm like, oh yeah, this is what it feels like. Now I'm in the space where I can begin visioning, and I might use a vision board. If I don't want to be drawing, I might just start cutting pictures out of magazines. One of my favorite prompts for this, I learned from a woman, Gail Larson, and her prompt was to look for what what gives you joy? So what are the things in life that give you joy? I believe that's, I'm paraphrasing here. I did this exercise with her. It was phenomenal. And when you just look at what gives you joy and then you show it to a few friends and you say, what are you seeing here? And then if I talk them through it, like why these things matter to me, why does this matter to me? They listen, they look at it. Okay, what are you hearing? What are you seeing here? And then you get reflections back. Like what I'm getting about you is like, you're really into, you know, that's where my David Bowie thing came from. Like you are really into change and self-expression. And you're, one of your key messages is that people can change. And that came from, you know, a very simple vision boarding exercise. From there, I was like, oh, this is, you know, I'm really understanding my zone of genius. Now I'm like, what would a life look like that was dedicated to that? If I were to design my life around, you know, helping people change and doing the activities that bring me the most life, you know, I would design the life I'm living right now, pretty much. If you could see this office, I mean, like I open up the windows and it's a full ocean view and there's the ocean right across the street. I can hop in anytime. I can sing in my car every single day, but I've also designed my life using, it's my natural gifts and talents that are coming through. Like I love doing these videos. I love teaching. I love coaching. But it took me so long to get here. And there were so many missteps along the way, but it was all just this process of fear release. I hope that helps. I'm not sure exactly what kind of vision you're looking for, but any of these is a good entry point. This is not an exact science at all. And in fact, the more artful and creative you can be about it, the better. Send me your ideas. I'd love to hear. All right.
All right. The next question, what if to move more into your zone of genius, you have to leave behind something that everyone around you is desperate for you to lead and maintain? And what if it does fail when you exit? How do you live with that knowing that your decision might negatively affect others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of wisdom right there. So all those things could happen. You know, it could be that a lot of people are not happy because you are leaving something that they want you to manage. So this is, and then, you know, they feel bad and then they might, you know, feel bad about you and, you know, a bunch of really horrible things might happen. So this is a story and it's a powerful one. And it's one that, you know, yeah, when we make big changes, things happen. So it's great that you're kind of like anticipating, okay, there's some possibility here that stuff goes wrong because most likely there will be some hiccups along the way, but don't convince yourself that you know how many hiccups there'll be, how big and long they'll be and how hard they'll be and where they'll happen. Okay. So that's where we get too righteous. And that's when we get into that righteous form of fear that puts us in drama. It's okay to be afraid. It's very healthy. You're talking about change. You're going into the unknown. How do you deal with the fallout? That's a matter of, you know, there's going to be trial and error. There's going to be a bunch of learning along the way. And so if you put your focus on learning and say, I want to just be curious. And one of the things I want to be curious about is how is it just as likely that everything's going to go great? What would it look like if it went great? We're usually really fast to very vividly imagine worst case scenarios, but we don't give ourselves that treat of imagining best case scenarios. So that's your homework on this one is what if it all went great? What would that look like? And then, okay, like there's all these possibilities, positive and negative. If I'm to navigate through any range of these possibilities, how do I want to be as I navigate it? So you might set some intentions like, I want to be high integrity about this. I want to be, and what does that mean for me? That means I want to be communicative. I want to be measured. I want to be thoughtful. I want to be connected and grounded, and I don't want to rush. You know, you might create some kind of guidelines for yourself about how do you want to be? And then you can navigate going through it with that level of responsibility where you're taking responsibility for yourself, your own actions. What you can't be responsible for are other people's feelings. Now, we very strongly impact each other. There's absolutely no question about that. None. However, you know, there's a certain extent to which, you know, your actions, they get interpreted and then, you know, others, they go into their own story about them. So you show up as best you can, you know, you're going to learn, you go through with curiosity, you keep your high integrity, You let it be easy, and you let it go at the pace that it naturally wants to go. So we're gonna move slowly, but we're not gonna pause. We're not gonna pause. So yes, what I really want you to also focus on is what positive impact will I have on others and the world when I do live in my zone of genius? Get that very, very vivid in your head. What positive impact will I have on others? And the more vivid that you can make that vision, the more hungry you're going to be for the pleasure of that coming true. It sounds like you're a helper. You really want to help others and take care of them. And that's helpful to a point, and then it's not helpful, because if you're holding yourself back, that's not helpful. That's because I know that your soul's essence is the valuable thing that the world needs. So get some support for that for sure. And good for you for like imagining that far.
All right. Okay, we only have a couple more questions. No, okay. We have a couple more questions left. Rodrigo wants to know, what are your favorite questions to ask to people that visibly spend the most of the time in their zone of genius?
Ooh. You know, what's interesting about, my experience being around people who visibly spend most of their time in their zone of genius is, on the one hand, I am so curious about their lives, and I'm always just, I love what they get into. I'm so fascinated by, how did you get this piece of work done, and what was that like for you? And then, what are you thinking about next? And how are you organizing yourself and your life and your home and your business to make this all come true for you? But really what I'm wanting to know is, like, what would it be like to be in that skin that's in zone of genius? And usually when I see it in someone else, I'm also waking up to it in myself. So I want you to remember that, whenever we see something in others, that is like, we're pointing, right? So one finger is at them, but three fingers are pointing back at us. It's us waking up to it in ourselves. And if we can realize that, that really helps us to discover our genius. Another thing that happens though with those people, kind of on the other hand, is I get so locked in presence when I'm with them, because they are so intensely present, that we could ask any question, we could talk about anything. It would be usually interesting. But it's almost like just being in the present moment is the most interesting possible thing. It's a very physical feeling. I think when you can really like kind of ground yourself there with someone who's like that, it's powerful.
Okay. That's all we have for today.
Awesome. You guys, thank you so much for being with me. It was absolutely amazing spending this time. I'm really excited for you to be on this journey, and take it slow. Take care of yourself. This is a process. All right. Bye.